Lord, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in our hearts, your gift of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for the plan that you have for each one of us. We thank you, Lord, for your purpose that will be fulfilled. Lord, I pray that you'd open up heaven this morning. Pour your word out to us. Pour it into our hearts. Help us to receive it. Help us to apply it to our lives. Touch your people this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. I didn't chase too many people off with my singing. For some reason, I just couldn't get the handle on Amazing Grace. I don't understand that. Well, we're supposed to focus on our praise, right? What's that? Yeah. Before there was anything, what was it like? It's hard to imagine, isn't it? But I wonder about things like that. Do you ever wonder about what it was like before God created anything? No? There was nothing, and yet there was Him. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, He didn't need anything else. He didn't need anybody else. You know, the three of them, they're one. Don't ask me how that works. I can't explain that. Ask God when you see Him. He'll probably be a very simple solution. Because God's all-sufficient. He doesn't need anything else. But for some reason, He wanted to have a relationship with us. Don't know the answers to everything. Not supposed to. Proverbs 25:2, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. He knows what He wants us to know, doesn't He? Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. I have a lot of scripture this morning, so there you go. The title of my sermon this morning is Before There Was. And we're going to look at a few things that applies to. Before there was a world, there was God. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And I've mentioned before, I've heard that if you can get past the first four words in the Bible, there's hope for you. In the beginning, God. Because that requires an awful lot of faith, doesn't it? God doesn't just start out with a prologue. I remember someone telling me, but he was a big James Michener fan, and I've never really read too much James Michener. I've seen some of the movies in the Centennial. But he starts out talking about how, you know, trees. Anyway, he builds up. He sets the scene. And he spends a lot of time setting the scene, apparently, for what he wants you to know. God doesn't do that. God says, in the beginning, God. He doesn't offer any answers. He doesn't offer any solutions to what problems we might have with that. He just calls on us to believe. In the beginning, God. There was God in the beginning. There was God before the beginning. Matthew 13:35, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. God doesn't tell us everything. Could we handle it? No. We're going to spend eternity having Him tell things. Before there was a sinner, there was a Savior, a Lamb. Think about it. Before we sinned, God had the solution to our salvation, the means. 1 Peter 1:18 through 20. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. A lamb. He was a lamb that was spoken of. All the way back in Genesis 3:15, it didn't specifically mention a lamb, but it mentioned the Savior. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. A lamb. A lamb that was sent. John 1:29. The next day, John the Baptist, seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He was a lamb. He was a lamb that was slain. Revelation 13:8, And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was the purpose of the Son to die at the very beginning, even before it, from the foundation of the world. Before there was guilt, there was grace. We get caught up in guilt a lot, don't we? Guilt, regret. Are we supposed to? We're supposed to keep from making the same mistakes twice, or three times, or four times. But how do we deal with guilt? God does. He extends His grace to us. 2 Timothy 1:9, that's the second verse of our opening scripture. I'm not going to read the beginning of it. The beginning was just because it starts in the middle of a sentence, but that's okay. Or 1:9 does. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before the world began, God the Father and God the Son entered into a covenant. God said, I will give these people that I'm going to create to you if you'll die on the cross for them to save them from their sins. A covenant. A covenant is stronger than a promise. A covenant is something that isn't going to be broken. Not when God makes it with Himself. Before man ever strayed, there was grace to bring him home. Anybody in here ever strayed? I see a lot of hands going up. And I see a lot of people that didn't raise their hands that aren't telling the truth. No, I'm just kidding. Isaiah 53:6 says, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We go our own way. We choose our own path sometimes, and a lot of times when we do that, when we go astray, it's not the path that He's set before us. We know what we should do, but yet we go in the wrong direction, don't we? The Lord had laid on Him the iniquity of us all, on Jesus Christ. He bore our sins on that cross. Before man ever sinned, there was grace to make him clean. Romans 3:23 says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, The wages of sin, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We know what we deserve. We know what we've earned. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give us what we deserve? Don't ever ask God to be fair with you. to give you what you deserve. You don't want that. Seek His grace, or welcome His grace. Before man ever became separated, there was grace to reconcile him to God. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. But Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He broke down the wall of separation. It's grace that saves. We don't work towards it. We're saved by grace. Paul said in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I heard a story about some people up in heaven talking about, they're talking about what they did to get into heaven. I just ruined the whole joke. Anyway, one's talking about how he saved a busload of children. Another one's talking about doing this. Another one's talking about doing that. And, well, when did that happen? Oh, just a few minutes, you know, before I got here. Say, you know, I didn't realize heaven was going to be this hot. Anyway, that's the punchline. So it wasn't really heaven after all, right? We don't get to heaven by what we do. We do what we do because we're going to heaven. Grace is sufficient for all. Romans 5:20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The more we sin, the more grace God provides. Does that tell us that we should go out and sin more so we'll have more grace? No. As Paul says, God forbid. Isaiah 55:7, and I didn't write the verse down here, so I'll just have to give you the high point of it. It says that every time we come to God, He will abundantly pardon. The word abundantly means ever-increasing amounts each time we come. That means if we commit the same sin over and over, every time we come to God, there's more grace from God to forgive us for what we did than there was the first time. Ever-increasing amounts each time we come. But we're not supposed to take advantage of that, are we? That's presumption. Before there was the punishment of death, there was a promise of life. Titus 1:2 talks about in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. To who or to whom was this promise given? The promise is given to those who had come to Christ. John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He won't refuse you, no matter what you've done. You come to the Lord, and He'll receive you. The promise is given to those who would confess Christ. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. He goes on to say that if you deny me before men, then I'll deny you to the Father. The promise is given to those who would claim Christ. Romans 10:11-13. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Before that first sinner bowed down, God had already made a way to receive him. Before there was a hell, there was a heaven. Did you realize that? Heaven has always been what God intended for us. So who messed that up? We did, didn't we? We can blame Adam and Eve. But actually we won't. When we see them in heaven, we're going to know that we're actually better off because of what they did. Yes, they sinned. Yes, they caused a lot of suffering. But we're going to be in heaven instead of in a garden somewhere on earth. Ephesians 1:4, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. That means each one of us. A song that Roy sings, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. Actually, before we were created, before the world was created, we were on His mind. He knew each one of us. He knows everything about us. Matthew 25:34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Heaven. Heaven is the dwelling place of God. Psalms 11:4 says, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. I don't know about you, but I want to be where He is. And I'm pretty sure you guys all feel the same way. So what is the purpose of hell? Or what was it originally? Matthew 25:41, then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for man. It was prepared for the devil, but those that choose to follow the devil are going to go, they're going to go to hell. It's that simple. Who do you choose to follow? And I think that for our own benefit, that's a choice we have to make every day. We have to remind ourselves. Who is heaven for? It's for the redeemed. It's for the saved. John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. 1 Peter 1:3-5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy have begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed to the last time. You notice it says, God has begotten us again. That means born again, doesn't it? Who is heaven for? It's for the perfected. God is constantly working in our lives, changing us, isn't He? He that's begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it till the end. Philippians 3:9, to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Who is heaven for? It's for the forgiven. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. I've mentioned this before. You notice it doesn't say as far as the north is from the south. Because if you go far enough north, you end up going south, don't you? Because that's the way our poles are. But if you go east, you're constantly going east. You'll never arrive at west. Because you're still going in the direction of east. I think that's why it doesn't say as far as the north is from the south. Because that's only a few thousand miles. The east, as far as the east is from the west, is forever. First Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. What an amazing verse. What an amazing promise. You ever sit and wonder what heaven's going to be like? And in your own imagination, you paint a picture of what it is? Yeah, we can't do that. Because it's going to be so much more than we can imagine. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. You know, this is a beautiful world. It really is. You know, we're trying to destroy it. But all in all, it's a beautiful world. And yet he only spent 6 days on it. He's been spending thousands of years on our home in heaven. Thousands of years. We can't imagine what it looks like, can we? And another promise. I'll close with this. Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Well, we don't like that last part, do we? We don't want to suffer with him. But yet, if we suffer with him, if we suffer the afflictions that are God, the persecutions, then we need to rejoice in that because we're counted worthy. If children, heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, the heirs of God. We know that God isn't going to die, but yet we're there in his will. We're the heirs, his children. What a promise. We've come a long way from just tending a garden, haven't we? We've come a long way from being in a state of innocence. We're now forgiven. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your promises. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the purpose you've had before the foundation of the world. We thank you, Lord, that according to the counsel of your will, your planned purpose, you've worked in our lives and brought us to where we are right now. We rejoice of where we're going. And Lord, there may be some in here today that are thinking about where they're going. And maybe it isn't where everybody else is going. I just pray, Lord, you just reveal your truth and pour out your love into that heart that knows they need you. If there's anybody today that's never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to come forward. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. you need to take that step towards Jesus Christ. He walked a long way carrying a cross for you. Can you walk a few feet to declare your love and your faith in Him? Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that You'd go with us today, that You'd guide our steps. And Lord, just help us to be everything You want us to be. Help us, Lord, to bring glory to Your name and honor to Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.